Welcome to another Taco Tuesday. This is Amber with Synapse Center for Health and Healing, registered dietitian, nutritionist. And today I wanted to hit on a topic that I think affects most of us in one way or another. And that's picky eaters. So whether it's you, your children, your spouse, a friend, it's something that can be kind of challenging to deal with. Sometimes it's hard to find things to serve at home, find different ways to handle situations with picky eaters. So today I thought we'd talk about a little insight from a dietitian and mom perspective. So first of all, if it's you that's a picky eater, or your significant other, a friend, a coworker, any adult in your life, it's okay. There's things that all of us like that we don't like, but I always encourage people to really try to keep an open mind. So before completely turning away from a food, especially a nourishing food, try a few new ways to see if you like it. So I'm going to use a common example today because I hear it all the time, and I think this is a challenging food for people, and that's Brussels sprouts. That's always the one, right, that we hear in movies and TV shows, pop culture. Brussels sprouts are one of those harder things that everybody says they don't enjoy. I think it's important to remember that we don't have to just boil or steam them and eat them plain, but they are wonderfully nourishing little balls of deliciousness if you make them right. So they're loaded with fiber, lots of vitamins and minerals, and they've even got a little bit of healthy fat. So Brussels sprouts, you can season them. We cut them in half and roast them with olive oil and balsamic vinegar. You can shred them and sneak them into a salad or a stir fry. There's so many different ways to incorporate them. And the same goes for any vegetable that we're afraid to try. And of course, any food as well. Now, not everybody is a picky eater with veggies specifically, but that tends to be one of the more common challenges that people bring up when I talk with them in clinic, or even just when I talk to people in general about nutrition, is, well, I don't mind eating healthy, but I don't like vegetables. So that's what we're going to kind of focus on a little bit today, but everything we talk about can be applied to any food. Now, talking again about veggies specifically, there's a wonderful website loaded with veggie recipes called It's a Veg World After All.com. So just like it's a small world after all, but it's a veg world after all.com. And what I love about this site is you can go in there, you can search by vegetable, you can search by meal, you can search by season. So finding things that are seasonally appropriate and maybe a little bit more available. And there's even cocktails and mocktails on there that contain veggies. So you can look on there, find a lot of really great ways to incorporate more vegetables into your diet, more color, more fiber, all of those wonderful things that most of us just don't get enough of. Lots of great websites out there. You can certainly look around and find your own that you like, but if you want a resource, that's a great one. Now, if you have a kind of deep-rooted memory of something, being forced to eat something that you didn't like, it's important to kind of let go of that, process through those emotions, kind of think back to why you don't like that food, if it's not so much the flavor or texture of it, because those things can be modified with how we cook it. If it's just being forced to eat it in the past, sometimes it's important to let go of that, kind of think of it as a new food as we try it again. And move on and give it a shot. Now, if it's a kid, my best advice is patience. So if you have some children at home, they're picky eaters, you feel like they're always asking for the same thing, you're putting foods in front of them, they won't eat it. It feels like you're wasting a lot of food or throwing things away because your kids won't try them. I get it. Depending on what study you look at, you might need to introduce a new food to a child anywhere from 10 to 20 times before they accept it. That's a lot of trial and error, and I totally appreciate that that can sometimes get really discouraging. So it's easy to put something in front of our kids just a couple of times and say, well, they don't like this meat or this vegetable or this fruit, so I'm just going to quit serving it. But 10 to 20 times, it's kind of a good goal. So a few tips to help make those meal times a little bit easier. And this is with picky kids, but really picky anybody. So things to do. Always introduce whatever's being made for a meal. So if you're making something for a meal, you know your kids probably aren't gonna like it or aren't gonna try it because of how it looks, what it contains, how it smells, anything like that. present it anyway. So even if you don't think they'll like it, present it with a really positive attitude. But always include a couple of safe foods at the meal too. So things that you know they like, things you know they enjoy. So maybe if there's a fruit that they enjoy, a veggie that they do like, maybe it's adding a new vegetable, but serving chicken nuggets or something like that. Always having foods on there that they feel comfortable eating and that you know fit into that comfort zone. Demonstrate eating it yourself. So when kids see us eating certain things, they see adults in their lives eating these foods, eventually they're more likely to give it a try. It might not be today, it might not be tomorrow, it might not be this year, but eventually they'll often try it. And it's okay to talk about how foods keep us healthy, strong, give us energy. My 3-year-old probably knows more about how they impact bowel movements and energy and sleep more than most 3-year-olds do. But it's okay to talk about that kind of stuff at mealtime. Make it fun. If there are foods that can be assembled, things that are colorful, using cookie cutters to cut them into fun shapes, playing with food is not always a bad thing. So I know a lot of times it feels like they should just sit and eat, but for kids, being able to explore that process, being able to put things together, seeing things come in fun shapes can make it feel a little bit safer as well. And that doesn't mean we have to do that at every meal. Sometimes evenings get busy. We don't have time to sit and cut things with a cookie cutter. But even trying some new foods on the weekends or days that you do have a little bit more time to invest. And then involve them in the process if you can. Whether it's kids or adults, growing foods, letting them pick a meal for the week, encouraging them to help cook, bringing them grocery shopping. Anything that creates investment for either children or adults can create a more diverse diet in the long run. So we have a colorful magnet board at home that we created that can allow some fun involvement once in a while in helping plan a healthy meal. So picking that protein, picking that vegetable, picking that healthy fat that's going to go into one or two meals during the week. Some things to avoid that can make all of that reintroduction a little bit more stressful. So avoid making it a big deal. If they look at it and say they don't want to eat it, sometimes simply saying, that's okay, you don't have to try it then, gives them permission to try it at their own pace and avoids a fight. So sometimes letting them turn their plate around so that less desirable food is at the back, but still present can be a good strategy. Avoid forcing them to try or eat things. So if we think back to things, like I mentioned before, that we have memories of as children, a lot of times that's the common route for food aversions later in life. So just continue to introduce them, continue to make it a familiar food, continue to put it on the plate as part of the meal. And again, generally, that 10 to 20 tries, that patience will pay off and they'll give it a try. And try to avoid food rewards. This is an easy one to slip into, but when we do if you try this, if you eat this, you can have dessert, you can have candy, you can have whatever, insert other food here. This sometimes creates a hierarchy of foods that, again, often lasts into adulthood and creates the desirable of sweets and treats and the non-desirable, those veggies and other healthier, more nourishing foods. You can also incorporate veggies into sauces. Add butternut squash into mac and cheese, blend veggies into spaghetti sauce. You can make fun and colorful smoothies. Use names of things they like making a dinosaur soup, Iron Man sauce, anything that you can do to relate it to things that they do enjoy. And most importantly, remember all kids, all families are different. And different strategies will work in different homes based on personalities, schedules, medical conditions. So many different factors play into what will work in one home or another. Also, remember kids go through phases just like we do as adults of things that they enjoy. And things they don't. Weeks they're willing to be brave with foods, and weeks they maybe want to stick to what's comfortable. So continue to introduce those new foods. Continue to try to introduce some of the things that are maybe a little bit more challenging. But keep it lighthearted. Try to stay patient and remember there really is no one path, no one right diet. But if you have questions, if you need support for making meals at home, meal planning, finding recipes, whatever it is, always reach out. You can call the radio station here, or you can go online to officialsynapse.com and fill out the form for a discovery call, or you can reach out to us at the clinic at 651-209-9906. Thanks for coming to another Taco Tuesday, and we'll see you next week.